Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
My name is James Holden, and I'm a babysitter for the supernatural. No, really, that's my profession. The only difference between me and that teenage girl down your street is my clientele. I've been in the business for 7 years, and I've babysat for almost any paranormal species or family you could think of, and some you've never heard of before. Werewolf, angel, banshee, dwarf, elf, fairy, fae, golem, etc. Each one unique. Each one with its own dangers. Don't get me wrong, I love my job, but that doesn't mean it's not challenging or safe. It all started 7 years ago. I was that aforementioned teen, living down the street, babysitting to make money on the side. It was a moderate business. I mostly babysat for the same few families, with the occasional stranger who had been pointed in my direction by my regulars. It wasn't the best income, honestly. For the most part, my rates sat right on, or slightly below, minimum wage. It was a good job for me. It let me earn some spending money without taking up too much of my time. You can imagine how excited I was when I got an offer to watch a set of twins overnight, for quite a bit more than my average rate. That kind of money per hour for a whole night was a lot of money to me. I didn't really think about why they offered so much money up front. I suppose they thought that babysitting overnight would be a hassle. However, in my experience, it was actually really easy. The kids would be asleep most of the time. Really, all I had to do was cook dinner and breakfast. I wanted to get there before the starting time, so I started out early. Making a good impression by arriving early would increase the chance of them hiring me again. The house was well off the beaten path, and the woods leading up to it seemed heavier and darker than normal. The trees hung over the road, creating a splotchy canopy through which the sky could barely be seen. The woods seemed to absorb the noise of my car, letting nature's voice play through the usual shell of engine noise. After too long driving through these woods, the turnoff to the driveway finally came around the corner. At the end of the long gravel drive stood the house. It was a large manor, and, with the exception of a small yard, was surrounded by tall trees. The trees towered over the house, casting it in a spotty shadow, making the residence seem darker and solemn. The garden was tidy, with trimmed grass and a wooden swing set. The house itself sat 3 stories high. A stone manor, it leered over my car, its multitude of chimneys stretching towards the sky as if to escape the roof. Uncommonly, the window shutters were all latched closed, which gave the house an unnatural shut-off feel. Not welcoming like other houses I'd seen in the style. I checked the car clock. 7:15. I was 15 minutes early. I did a quick check in the mirror, making sure I was presentable before exiting the car. The trees near the house, unlike the drive, seemed unnaturally quiet, and my footsteps against the gravel seemed loud. Each step grated in my ear, echoing in the silent air. As I approached the huge, double-wide front door and raised my hand to knock, it swung open suddenly. I jumped back in shock. The quiet had unsettled me more than I realized. I straightened as I realized it was just the woman who had opened the door for me. Seeing me, she cracked a wide smile. "Ah, you must be James. You're early," she noted in a soft foreign accent. "Please, come in. My girls are very excited to meet you." I followed her into a large entrance hall, depositing my shoes just inside the front door. The house was brightly lit as far as I could see, powerful lights compensating for the shuttered windows. I followed her through a tall archway into a brightly lit kitchen. Looking around at the dark marble countertops, I noted the fancy kitchen equipment. Sitting at the counters were 2 10-year-old girls, twins, dress similarly. "Hi, I'm Stacy," the one on the right exclaimed in an excited voice. "And I'm Stephanie. It's really nice to meet you," the one on the left chimed in. After I introduced myself and explained that it was really nice to meet them as well, their mom sent them out, explaining she had to talk with me about the rules of the house. "Wow, the girls really seem to like you," she started. "I just never realized and never introduced myself. I'm Minerva. I'm so grateful that you agreed to babysit my girls. I've missed so many council meetings." "I really appreciate the chance, Minerva. Your girls seem lovely. So, what kind of council meeting are you off to?" I didn't usually ask personal questions, but she had brought it up first. It seemed like a good way to improve her opinion of me. She gave me a slight, confused smile. "Why, the Council of Witches, of course. I'm second to the High Witch. Since the girls, I haven't had the chance to attend a meeting in person." "I'm sorry, I started. Did you say the Council of Witches?" "Yes, of course. I thought you understood this. I requested your services because I heard you had experience dealing with demonic children. My girls would be much easier than demon spawn." I expected her to lean in, a sly smile adorning her face. "Just kidding," she would exclaim. Or the two girls to pop in, laughing hard at the joke Mommy played on the new babysitter. But none of that happened. She just continued looking at me with a slight concerned expression on her face, as if I was the one playing a joke. "Wait, like you're part of one of those natural covens?" I asked, hoping it was that simple, that her expression simply betrayed how serious she was about these new age covens. "No," she began slowly. "Did you seriously not know this, James? I mean, I'm a witch. I sit on the Council of Witches and have been for the past 100 years. The disbelief on my face must have convinced her. She didn't look any older than 35. No way she was older than 100. I was naive to think that witches had to be wrinkled, covered with warts and green skin. However, if I was going to consider their existence, I wouldn't have guessed 30-something-year-old moms. She leaned forward, looking directly into my eyes. I found myself unable to look away, or even move. Her eyes seemed larger than normal, and contained an unnatural depth of knowledge and experience. Her eyes shifted colour, red to green to blue to brown, as she peered into my very existence. I heard of the eyes being the windows to the soul, but I had no idea you could look through them. She sighed. "You're telling the truth, unfortunately. It's clear you had no idea I was a witch, nor that witches even existed. This isn't good at all. I was really looking forward to that night out." "What do you mean?" I replied curiously. "It would be irresponsible to leave an inexperienced mortal with non-mortal children. I was expecting you to have some knowledge of the mystical and non-mortal. This is very unfortunate. I'm so sorry for wasting your time. I'm happy to pay you half the night for your troubles." I glanced at the wall clock. 7:25. The entire introduction had only taken 10 minutes. It had felt much longer. I considered the dilemma before me. After looking into her eyes, I had no doubt she truly was a witch. It was weird to accept something so unnatural so easily, but the power behind her eyes was undeniable. I considered my options. The easy way out was taking the money. Half pay was really good, considering I hadn't been there an hour. I could take the money and leave, but that would leave Minerva high and dry, forced to miss a meeting. Minerva had said that her children would be much easier than demon spawn, and I dealt with some really naughty children, some regularly. But I had no idea how that compared to supernatural children. Minerva seemed really nice, but knowing what I did about her, it could completely be an act, or the cool exterior of an insane mind of a lunatic. She definitely held power. The question was, is all really as it seemed? Her daughters seemed pleasant in the little time I met them, and well-behaved, at least while their mom was around. My other option was to try and take the job. I had no idea how hard the job would be, and if it went well, I might be able to babysit for her again. It definitely seemed like she was in need of a babysitter. Beyond that, if a witch needed mortal babysitters, maybe there was a whole spectrum of children that needed a night out and would pay well for babysitting. Minerva herself had said that mortals were used for such services. This could be my ticket in. It was crazy, a lunatic thought, but my curiosity and possible future of well-paid knights drove me forward. "I'll do it, if you let me," I said, trying to sound confident. I really hoped this was the right choice. I had little idea what exactly I was getting myself into. "James, that's very sweet of you, but..." she started, but I could see the indecisiveness in her eyes and made a decision. "Look, one night can't hurt, right? I've babysat plenty before. This can't be too different. I'll be very vigilant," I interrupted. "Think of it as a trial run. If it goes well, you'll know I can do it." "Okay, let's call this a trial run then. I wouldn't even consider this if my meeting tonight was any less important," she agreed, then carried on. "I really have to get going, but there are some things you need to know. This won't be like anything you've ever done before. Before we begin, I need to know. Can you handle scary? Don't answer immediately. Really consider this. There are things you are completely ignorant of, and you have to be able to keep a level head." I really had to look in on myself at that point. This was my last chance to just leave. I could take the money and just go. What things would I see that would have Minerva asking such a question so seriously? Of course I got scared. Everyone did. However, compared to my friends, I noticed it took quite a bit to get me. Honestly, back then, I think if I knew what I knew now, I would have taken the money and walked. I was ignorant and confident, and I remember what convinced me was the thought, no matter how bad it is, it's only one night. I was pretty stupid back then. "I can handle myself," was my response, for better or worse. Excellent. And she gave me the same striking smile as before. "I've written up a short letter detailing a few rules you must follow. Let me reiterate, you must follow these rules. I left my phone number at the bottom of the page. Call me if anything goes wrong. If you break a rule, heaven forbid, call me immediately." "Got it." I was feeling better now. It just sounded like she had stricter rules than most parents. After reminding me to read the letter and to lock up, she went off to a conference or council or whatever. After locking the door, I took a deep breath and walked back to the kitchen to read the letter. "Dear James, thank you so much for watching my girls. I'll have no doubt you'll find them to be quite the little angels. Listed below are the rules you need to follow in regards to both the children and the house. This really shouldn't be too hard of a job. The girls should go to bed not too long after I leave, and won't wake up until around 7. I should be back at 9. Most of your job will be housekeeping duties in regards to the upkeep of the house. Call me if anything goes wrong, and call me immediately if a rule gets broken. Many of the rules are time-based, so I suggest you set alarms or keep an eye on the clock. Number 1. The girls are very good at taking care of themselves. They have already had dinner and will go to bed at 8. They may want to play board games or cards until their bedtime. Number 2. Follow them upstairs and lock them into their rooms for the night. Have no concern. They have ensuite bathrooms and anything else they might need overnight. Do not unlock the door until 7. Number 3. You may hear knocking at the exterior doors and windows. This may or may not be accompanied by voices demanding you open the door. Despite whoever they sound like or claim to be, do not open the door until after 9. Number 4. You will find every door inside the house closed. This is intentional. If you wish to enter a room, knock 3 times, then listen carefully. If you hear any bumbling or mumbling or any unnatural sounds in the room, wait a few minutes, then try again. Number 5. Once you enter the room, turn around and close the door. No matter what you see, continue closing the door. You must, for no reason, stop closing the door. Number 6. There are a total of 3 mirrors in the house, one in my bedroom and one for each of my daughters in their bedrooms. there are no mirrors anywhere you will be in the house. If you find yourself looking into a mirror, stand up straight and spin around until when you look at the mirror, you see the back of your head. Slowly back out of the room, keeping your gaze locked on your reflection. If your reflection looks at you again, repeat the process and spin around. You do not have to knock on the door if you encounter a mirror, but you need to close the door. Maintain a sight line of the mirror until the door interrupts your view. Number 7. If you hear footsteps on the stairs or hear something walking toward you, find a corner and stand in it, facing the wall. Do not look for the source of the sounds, and do not turn around no matter what you feel or hear. Stay completely still and silent in the corner until you hear the footsteps ascend to the fourth floor. Number 8. There is no fourth floor. If you see stairs going upwards from the third floor, turn around and walk away. Do not run. Number 9. I recommend avoiding the third floor, but you are welcome to sleep there if you wish. Do not turn on any lights. Use only the red flashlight found in the kitchen. Number 10. Use any bedroom you wish, besides mine and my daughter's. Just make sure everything listed below is complete before you turn in. Number 11. Make sure the fridge is closed, the stove is off, etc. Number 12. Turn on all the TVs at 8:30 p.m. Try to turn them on close to the same time. The channel doesn't matter. There are 4 TVs to turn on. One in the living room, one in the den, and one in each of the first story bedrooms. Number 13. There is a brown package on the kitchen counter. Using the red flashlight, take it up to the third floor at 9 p.m. and place it in any of the bedrooms. Remember rules 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Number 14. They should already be closed, but double check all the shutters are closed. Number 15. Go to bed at any time. Just make sure there is a glass of water at the counter at 9:15 p.m. Do not enter the kitchen again until 9:30 p.m, regardless of what you hear. Just follow these instructions and everything will be a breeze. Take good care of my girls for me. Minerva. After reading the letter, I was wishing she had let me read it before leaving. This was crazy. What did some of these even mean? Why did there have to be a glass of water on the counter at exactly 9:15? And what sounds was I going to hear? What exactly did the mirrors in this house do? I was wishing I had been smart enough to take half pay and just leave, but I wasn't, and here I was. I wasn't about to call Minerva back, not after I said I'd do it, and especially not after she already left. Damn, I wish I'd been confident enough to call her back home. The girls were very well behaved, just as the letter said. We started a game of Monopoly, but had to stop for their bedtime. It was a new experience for me. I had never before babysat kids who were so responsible about getting to bed exactly on time. Now, it was just me and the house. It seemed unnaturally quiet. There would have been sunlight outside still, but the house had many shutters, and the only light came from the numerous lamps and ceiling lights. I glanced at my watch. 8:25. It was a nice watch, with the ability to set multiple alarms. I went ahead and set alarms for 8:30 p.m, 9 p.m, 9:15 p.m, 9:30 p.m, and 9 a.m, which seemed like a lot to me. I went back to the kitchen and had a look around. It was a big modern kitchen, a kitchen island in the middle, a wall of counters to the side, and, of course, a quintessential stove and fridge. Nothing out of the ordinary. I went ahead and found the red flashlight and placed it next to the brown package. I didn't know if I could leave the cup of water out now and just stay out of the kitchen, or if I had to fill it at the set time. Figuring it was safe to fill it later, I went out in hunt of the TVs. The hallway was almost blindingly bright. Several ceiling lights and lamps contributed to this effect. She hadn't left me a map or anything. All I knew was that I had to find 4 TVs. I already saw the one in the living room, and figured I could just search all the rooms on the first floor till I found the other 3. In my head, I had reassured myself that it all must be a joke on the new babysitter. Sure, Minerva had looked sincere, but any actor could look sincere. My reasoning at that point was that I would follow any trackable rule, moving a package she'd know. turning on TVs, there would also be an obvious tell. The glass of water would be a visible sign if I'd follow the rules. However, she would have no idea if I looked into a mirror or if I opened the door correctly. Actually, she might be able to know through sensors or something. I had no idea how complex this was. I made my mind up. At the first door, I would follow all the rules to a T. The perfect babysitter. Then I would check the door and see if I could find any sign of equipment. If not, I could just drop the excess rules. I'd met some eccentric parents with weird requests before. I figured Minerva was just one of these, albeit a bit more eccentric. I found a door and, checking the rules, knocked thrice. Hearing nothing on the other side, I entered. Turning around inside, I closed the door firmly. I found myself in a medium-sized bedroom with a TV hanging on the wall. Examining the door with all the scrutiny I could manage, no trace of sensor equipment was found. Figuring this was all the reason I needed to ignore the rules, I turned on the TV and returned to the hallway. Two down, two to go. A bedroom and a den, according to the letter. I returned to the hallway and sought out the next room. Coming up to the second door, I barged in like I owned the place and froze. The scene before me was a gory massacre. It looked like a dungeon out of a horror film, filmed with malicious instruments of pain. Sitting at a tall bench facing away from me was what looked like a wiry man. He seemed indifferent to the scene, and indeed some of the filth appeared to be soaking into his loafers. It looked like he was tinkering with something in front of him, and the quiet clinking of metal could be heard. It was a ludicrous comparison, this man sitting at a bench and the room he sat in. Above his head hung a TV, similarly out of place. He didn't seem to notice that I'd opened the door, so I slowly eased it shut, cringing at the soft click of the latch. I sunk to the floor in sheer shock at what I had seen. Why exactly did Minerva have such a room? Was I in danger? I had so many thoughts whirling through my head. I wanted to run. I wanted to hide. I wanted to stay still. It's hard to put into words, but that room was scary. The scariest thing I'd ever seen in my young life. Scarier by far than any horror movie. The simple reality of that room horrified me in ways I'd never felt before. I took deep breaths and reined in my wild thoughts, tightening my resolve. I had to know if the rules were the real thing. I wasn't confident enough to enter that room and talk to the man inside. A quick glance at him had been enough to keep me from thinking of trying to converse with him. I was, however, ready to try knocking on the door, with the stupid confidence many teens hold. I reread the rules to be certain, then precisely and quietly knocked three times. I listened carefully, standing stock still. Nothing. I could hear nothing. I, as slowly and quietly as I could, turned the knob and peered into the room with one eye. It looked like a regular bedroom now. I really wanted to stop and question my sanity at that point, but this sight had fueled my determination to follow the rules, silly or not. I entered the room, turned around and closed the door. Standing there, I took a second to collect my thoughts. When Minerva had told me this wouldn't be a usual babysitting job, I had believed her. She looked so earnest and honest. Once she left, I'd come to the conclusion that the rules must be fake or in jest. I didn't want to accept that the supernatural existed or that somebody could be a witch. Well, now I found myself having to accept this reality, if only to preserve my sanity by devoting myself to what I had to now accept as fact. The rules were real and had to be followed. The house obviously had the potential to be a house of horror. This was clear enough, seeing as I was standing in a bedroom that was but a minute ago a dungeon. I checked my watch. 8:35. I had 10 minutes until I had to take the package upstairs. I turned the TV on, then took a deep breath and exited the room. The hallways seemed more sinister to me now. The once reassuringly bright lights seemed harsher than before. I found the den, staying as quiet as I could. After knocking, I heard soft whimpering inside. Not stupid enough to break the rules again, I waited 3 minutes before trying once more. This time, the den was silent, so I turned the TV on and returned to the kitchen. Having to wait for the door had thrown off my time, and I grabbed the package along with the flashlight. Heading upstairs, I considered my situation. I figured everything would be fine as long as I followed the rules. They had to be clung to with a desire for life. Leaving the house was out of the question. The rules forbid it until 9 in the morning. Luckily for me, I only had one task after this. Then I would try and sleep the night away. I stopped on the landing. This wasn't right. The rules said the third floor would be dark, unlike the rest of the house. The hallway before me was just as bright as the first floor. I felt a sinking feeling in my gut. This was the fourth floor. I had gone up too far. The hallway before me looked exactly like the first floor hallway, but there was no end in sight. Just a hallway full of doors and lamps stretching on into the distance. I considered what to do. Going back down the stairs sounded like the obvious option, but that might be the very thing that sets my fate. Maybe I had to go forward, or even enter a certain room. While I stood there, building up the courage to call Minerva and tell of my colossal screw-up, I heard a sound on the stairs below me. Step. Drip. Drip. Step. Drip. Step. The sounds were coming up the stairs, and I wasn't about to meet the owner of those ominous steps. It was too fast. They were coming too fast. No time to think, no time to plan, no time to knock. I hurried into the first room on my right as the steps reached the stairs. Clutching the brown package to my chest, I could hear it in the hallway. Step, step. I stopped breathing, listening closely to the sound. Now, it was definitely on the fourth floor with me. I stood as still as I could. I heard it pass the door. Then I breathed a quiet sigh as it continued down the hallway. I took a second to look around to make sure I really was safe. It looked like a bedroom, identical to the first two, except for the dark red color of the paint. Those steps had convinced me that I had to call Minerva, embarrassed by my mistakes or not. How ironic, I found myself in this situation by breaking the rules while considering the importance of following the rules I'd been given. I almost wanted to cry. This wasn't. Well, I guess it was what I signed up for. But still, it was crazy. I pulled out my phone and was reassured when I noticed there were full bars. I hadn't even considered I might not be able to call, but it was reassuring to see that it was possible. Hello? Hi, Minerva. We may have a small problem. What's wrong, James? I went ahead and told her all that had happened. There was no reason to hold anything back, seeing as I'd already called and interrupted a meeting. So, you're on the fourth floor, with a brown package, and something dripping went past you? That sounds about right. Okay, listen to me very carefully. 3 questions will decide exactly how bad the situation is. She sounded tense, worried. Exactly what room are you in? Did you knock before entering the room? Finally, did you go to a corner when you heard the footsteps? I felt sick hearing the second question, and even worse on the third. I had completely forgotten the rule about finding a corner after hearing the footsteps. I'm in a bedroom, the first door on the right. I didn't knock before entering. I didn't find a corner either. I'm so sorry. I was just so scared. It happened so fast I couldn't even think. I meant to sound strong, but I found myself stammering and almost blubbering by the end of my confession. Oh, thank God. She sounded relieved. No, James, it's really good you didn't knock or find a corner. Really, really good. The fourth floor is completely different. It doesn't even exist. It's very complicated, but basically the rules are different there. If you had knocked or entered a corner, this would be a lot worse. Much, much worse. Okay, well, that's reassuring. I tried not to let just how glad I was to hear that creep into my voice. So, what do I need to do? You still have the package. In one motion, as fast as you can, open the door and throw the package away from the stairs, then run straight to the ground floor. Count the flights. Do not go one too many and end up in the basement. That would be much worse than the fourth floor, she instructed calmly. Okay, I got it. But what about leaving the package on the third floor? Do you have another one? No, but it'll be okay for one night. I'll do two packages tomorrow night. I wondered exactly what the nature and purpose of those packages were. Sorry about all of this. I should have just followed the rules from the beginning. Yes, yes you should have. In all honesty, this is the best case scenario for having broken the rules. Not that it makes this any better. It just could have been better. With that, I hung up and prepared to save myself. The whole conversation felt very surreal, but then again, this whole situation was weird. I put my hand on the doorknob and readied the package for throwing. Pulling swiftly, I saw a glance of a dark shape across the hall before I threw the package with all my might and dashed down the stairs. Counting carefully, I stopped only when I reached the ground floor, breathing heavily. I checked my watch. 2 minutes to 9. Once again, it felt like I had been upstairs much longer than that. It was probably a good thing. Any longer, and I wouldn't have time to do the water. I ran to the kitchen and filled the glass to place on the counter. Exiting back into the living room, I collapsed onto a couch. I felt exhausted, mentally and physically. It had only been a few hours, but in that time, I'd seen a torture chamber, ended up on the fourth floor, almost ran into a dripping figure, and broke 4 rules. The next morning came quick, luckily for me. I had slept in one of the bedrooms upstairs. There hadn't been any footsteps, nobody knocked on the windows, and I hadn't yet encountered a mirror. I was feeling much better compared to last night. I waited until 7, then unlocked the girls' rooms. We were making pancakes in the kitchen when the knock came. "Hello in there, it's Minerva, I'm back." A muffled voice came from the front door. Both the girls had frozen. I caught the eye of Stacy, and she slowly shook her head. I remembered the rules. She would be back at 9. I wasn't to open the door until 9, despite who was at the door. I considered calling out, but judging by the reactions of the girls, silence was the best course of action. "Hello?" The voice came again, starting to sound annoyed. "Will you please let me in? I forgot my house key last night." We all stayed still. "Come on," the voice was angry now. "It's Minerva, you have to let me in. I want to see my girls." Still, we waited. Finally, we heard the thing, person, whatever it was, moving away from the house. The girls relaxed, and the pancake making recommenced. I didn't want to ask the girls, but I was curious as to what would be impersonating. That's more or less the end of the story of my first time as a supernatural babysitter. I could bore you and describe how Minerva finally came home and explain that she would refer me to other such families and how I accepted. But I won't. Mostly because, despite my efforts, I didn't really learn anything important from Minerva at the time. One day, Minerva would explain much to me. But that's a story for another time.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.